Deep the silence round us spreading, all through the night. Dark the path that we are treading, all through the night. Still the coming day discerning, by the hope within us burning, to the dawn our footsteps turning, all through the night. Star of faith, the dark adorning, all through the night, leads us fearless toward the morning, all through the night. Though our hearts be wrapped in sorrow, from the hope of dawn we borrow promise of a glad tomorrow.
Good morning. Behind me, the table is set for the celebration of Holy Communion on this, the 52nd week of online worship together. That's right, this is an anniversary of sorts. It has been 1 year since we last gathered in this place for worship. And I thank you for joining us this morning, but more than that, I thank you for worshiping with us for the past year, and I thank you for your ongoing encouragement and support. 1 year later, it's safe to say that we are 1 year closer to the end of this pandemic. The end is in sight. I believe that. Now, 1 year later, you are safe in the comfort of your home, and I am here in the comfort of our shared church home. On a joyful note, yesterday I had the privilege of baptizing our 10-month-old grandson, Brooks. He is the newest member of our Trinity Lutheran Church congregation. He was baptized 30 years after his mommy was baptized here at Trinity Lutheran Church using the same baptismal bowl that we carried Emily to in 1991. Now, next week, we will be celebrating again our fourth pandemic baptism as Hillary and Christopher Thurman will bring little Wiley Beatrice Joy to be baptized. Proud grandparents Kelly and Rob are said to be over the moon in love. But that's next week. Today, we are headed to Jerusalem. We're going to the temple with Jesus. You know, nice Jesus. But come on, no one's nice all the time, are they? Well, our opening hymn will lead us into worship. And God has promised to meet us there in the wine, in the bread, in the water, in the word, with God's Spirit. As we trust in that promise, we worship now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to light the candles so you can sing along with Carl. You are holy.
Hosanna in the highest. the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. You alone, O Lord, are holy. We pray now that you would touch our hearts, break through the hard shells that we have constructed to protect our fragile egos, and inspire us to live and serve with passion. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Lois Roth works at the front desk in our office every Wednesday, but this morning she's going to read for us. The text will be familiar. The lesson will be eternal. Over to you, Lois.
The lesson is from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Lois and Leroy, for serving our church family so faithfully for all of these years. Carl's going to sing for us at this time.
In the day of the Lord, the sun will shine like the dawn of eternal day. All creation will rise to dance and sing the glory of the Lord. And on that day will justice triumph, on that day we'll all be free. Free from want, free from fear, free to live. In the day of the Lord, the sun will shine like the dawn of eternal day. All creation will rise to dance and sing the glory of the Lord. Then shall the nations throng together to the mountain of the Lord. They shall walk in the light of the Lord. In the day of the Lord, the sun will shine like the dawn of eternal day. All creation will rise to dance and sing the glory of the Lord. And they shall beat their swords to plowshares, there will be an end to war. One in peace, one in love, one in God. In the day of the Lord, the sun will shine like the dawn of eternal day. All creation will rise to dance and sing the glory of the Lord. Oh, give us lips to tell the story, give us hearts to understand. Let our hands work for justice today. In the day of the Lord, the sun will shine like the dawn of eternal day. All creation will rise to dance and sing the glory of the Lord. In the day of the Lord, the sun will shine like the dawn of eternal day. All creation will rise to dance and sing the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord.
Last week, We looked at the story of the disciple who would become the first pope. And if you read the biblical narrative, you will see that Peter was far from infallible. Popes, preachers, teachers, and politicians, we are all quite fallible. And if you doubt that for even a moment, just talk with those that they live with. Popes, preachers, accountants, Boeing workers, and shipbuilders, we are fallible. We are confident and we are insecure. We are humans. Sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we are faithful to the promises that we have made, and sometimes we fall short of the mark. Peter walked on water, and Peter sank. Peter was bold, and Peter was a coward. Peter was insightful, and Peter was clueless. Last week, you may remember that Peter was praised by Jesus, but you may remember also that Peter was rebuked by Jesus. And through it all, there was a reoccurring theme. What was that theme? You remember, do you not? It was reconciliation, grace, new beginnings. Peter bumbled forward with Jesus toward Jerusalem. Sometimes we need to be praised, and sometimes we need a good kick in the backside. The Bible tells us that God is love, and nothing can separate us from that love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Right? Right. But sometimes the tables must be turned over. Sometimes we need to speak up and we need to speak out. Which leads us to today's text from the Gospel of John. Now, let me first provide you with a little background on this 2,000-year-old story. Our story begins with pilgrims. I'm not talking about turkey and Thanksgiving. I'm not talking about Plymouth Rock. I'm talking about religious pilgrims who go on pilgrimages to holy places to seek God, to rub shoulders with people of faith. Pilgrims have always come to the holy city of Jerusalem. Today, they come from all over the world. On 15 trips to Israel, I have observed that every day is Pentecost in Jerusalem. Now, what does that mean? It means that on any given day, any week or month in the year, Jerusalem is filled with pilgrims, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Orthodox, Armenian, Baptist, Mormons, and a few Lutherans. Walking the streets of the old city, you will see the unique wardrobes of pilgrims, and you will hear conversations, readings, and song in a dozen different languages. Every day is Pentecost in Jerusalem. 2,000 years ago, the story was very much the same. Pilgrims from Africa, Asia, and across the Roman Empire would make the journey to Jerusalem. It was a melting pot of language and culture. 2,000 years ago, pilgrims would make this once-in-a-lifetime journey to the holiest place on earth, and their ultimate destination was the Jewish temple, which sat high on the top of Mount Moriah. The Temple Mount and the temple itself were built by the master builder, genius, and paranoid madman, King Herod. And it was the largest building project in the Roman Empire at that time. Let me try to put this in perspective for you. Have you been to the Colosseum in Rome? Well, the Colosseum, as you might imagine from its name, is immense. It covered 6 acres of land, but the Temple Mount in Jerusalem covered 37 acres of land. The Jewish temple inspired awe and wonder. There was no place quite like it in the ancient world. Pilgrims in small villages and bustling cities around the Mediterranean would save up money for years, and the people of the village would come alongside of them by promising to look after their family and their homes as the chosen would set off for Jerusalem. Travel was expensive. It was time-consuming and somewhat dangerous. The travelers would carry their local currency with them, precious metals, perhaps, or valuable treasures with them. 2,000 years ago, there were no credit cards, no Bitcoin or cash machines. And when the pilgrims approached the holy city from the desert region of Jericho, the temple, like the Acropolis in Athens, towered above the walls of the city. Now, the goal of the pilgrimage, as we have said, was always the temple. They had come to see it. They had come to pray there. They believed that God was a little more present there. It was a thin place between heaven and earth. Now, the Jews had a saying, never forget to remember, and never remember without sacrifice. Remember the mighty acts of God. Remember the blessings of daily life, of family and friends. Blessed to be a blessing, they came to Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice. Now, the temple was situated in the same place where Abraham had prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. But the pilgrims did not travel hundreds of miles carrying with them a spotless lamb or a goat or turtle doves. No, they had to travel light. They brought no sacrifice with them. But they did have money. Money to buy an appropriate animal from the locals. The locals, ancient capitalists, they had businesses that catered to weary pilgrims with money in their pockets. Yes, the economy of the old city of Jerusalem, even today, is still dependent upon pilgrims with money in their pockets. The ancient pilgrims had money, but before they could make the climb up to the temple, they had to cleanse their road-weary bodies in a mikvah. What is a mikvah? It's a public bath to wash off their dirt and their impurities before they approach God. Now, after the mikvah, next the pilgrims had to visit the money changers. Just try to show up in downtown Langley with shekels in your pocket and pay for your dinner. You won't have much luck. Businesses were not set up to receive currency from far-off lands. Consequently, money changers set up shop in the temple area. They would charge a fee, about 8%, to exchange foreign currency for shekels. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Now, once the money changers had made their profit, it was time for the animal dealers to line their pockets. Now, sacrifice in hand, the pilgrims could go to see the priest. Do you see what was going on? The temple was, might we say, it was good business. It was good business for all, for hotel owners, for shopkeepers, for restaurant workers, for prostitutes, for priests, for King Herod, for the Romans. Everyone benefited. The temple, the holy place, had become a business venture. If you really wanted to worship God and in turn to be in good standing with God, you had to have money. Money makes the world go round. This is nothing new, not then, not now. But God is interested in human hearts much more than money. God is interested in human hearts, not gold or silver or diamonds. God is interested in justice and the treatment of the poor and widows and orphans. If we look at the words of the Old Testament prophets, We find that God had for some time been offended by the religious people. You know the ones. They wear the right clothes. They sing the right hymns. They know the appropriate prayers. And they sit in grand villas or waterfront mansions. They jet-set the world while sharing freely their righteous indignation over climate change. It seems that God had been offended for some time with those who worshiped comfortably in beautiful churches, surrounded by people who looked just like they did. Self-righteous and happy, they would sip fine wine with little concern for the common people. Listen to the words of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies, and even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The Jewish temple was good business. Pilgrims were good business. And if business was good, Herod collected the taxes, Rome received her share, money makes the world go round, and everyone was happy. And now, Jesus comes into the picture. Jesus, too, was a pilgrim, but he was a local. The pilgrimage was not once in a lifetime for Jesus. No, he was a local. He didn't live in Italy or Greece. He lived in the neighborhood. Growing up in Nazareth, he was only 65 miles away from Jerusalem, so he would make the journey each and every year with his parents. He had amazed, you may remember, the Jewish rabbis with his knowledge and his insight of the Holy Scriptures when he was only 13 years old. He also ticked his parents off on that trip and was probably grounded back in Nazareth, but that's another story. As we enter the story today, it was Passover. The remembrance of the plagues of Egypt and the exodus of the children of Israel. Jesus and his disciples had walked from the Sea of Galilee down the Jordan River Valley, through Jericho, and up to Jerusalem. Never forget to remember, and never remember without sacrifice. They walked up. After the mikvah, they walked up hundreds of steps with tens of thousands of other pilgrims up, up, up until they reached the large courtyard. And it was there in the court of the Gentiles where our text for today takes place. What happened? Let's watch a portrayal of what has become known as the cleansing of the temple.
Not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you, You have made it a den of thieves.
Wait. Jesus did that? Jesus? Turn the other cheek, Jesus? Nice Jesus? Love your neighbor and pray for your enemies? Jesus did this? Flipping the tables of the money changers over? Jesus flipping over the tables? Jesus offended that God's grace was for sale? That profit was being put before people? That God's house was not a safe place for those who could not afford to pay the price of admission? God had been offended for some time with the religious people, and now Jesus was offended, so offended that he flipped over the tables. For everything, there's a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. If we are to follow Jesus, then sometimes we get to heal the sick, and sometimes we get to turn water into wine. But if we follow Jesus, sometimes we need to turn over the tables, upset the apple cart, kill the golden calf. There are times when we can no longer be silent, submissive, or nice. Now, in our country, we experienced a summer of protests this past year over the treatment and mistreatment of minority groups in our country. And today in Myanmar, in Hong Kong, and in Russia, people are taking to the streets to speak out against oppression. The powers of good and evil do battle. The age-old battle between darkness and light continues even today. Sometimes, my friends, sometimes we need to turn over the tables. Sometimes we need to take part in civil disobedience. Sometimes we need to stand against the powers that be. We need to speak out against the evil of oppression. We need to take a stand and stand with those who are poor and afflicted. Now, if you've not yet had a chance to view the recently released documentary on PBS called The Black Church, This Is Our Story, This Is Our Song, I would encourage you to do so. And if you've not yet had a chance to watch the documentary on Howard Thurman, I would also encourage you to do so. You see, we live in the greatest country in the world, but you know what? Sometimes the tables have to be turned over. Sometimes our faith demands that we speak boldly on behalf of the oppressed. Sometimes the tables must be overturned, and the religious people need to be reminded that they are blessed to be a blessing. They are not blessed to sit in judgment, to exclude others, or to feast sumptuously in complacency. Yes, prayers without action are an outrage to God, and faith without works is dead. There are times, yes, there are times when the tables must be overturned. The greatest generation put on their boots and picked up their guns to save the world from tyranny. Martin Luther King Jr. was a martyr for civil rights. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed for speaking out against Hitler. And the runaway slave, Harriet Tubman, risked her life to save her people. Now, I don't know what tables God is calling you to overturn, or me most of the time either. I don't know what God is calling you to do, but I know that God is calling you. Day to day, every day, and every hour, we are to live lives that are marked by love, by patience, by kindness, by humility, by forgiveness and grace. Love is a calling, and love is a choice. There's never a bad time to care for others. There's never a bad time to raise the dead. There's never a bad time to sit with those who are grief-stricken. Day by day, God is calling us to love. But love sometimes demands that the tables be overturned. Love demands an outrage over injustice, a voice advocating for the voiceless, protests that lead to change. We are mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. Like Peter, the church is not infallible. The church bearing the name of Jesus has oftentimes been on the wrong side of history. Like Peter, we are not infallible. Like Peter, we are sometimes weak and more worried about tradition or convenience than we are about what is right. And sometimes we're on the wrong side of history. But when it comes to racism and bigotry and hate, we must find ourselves on the right side of history. Let us not oppress or sit in judgment of those who worship in ways that we do not understand. And let us not be threatened by diversity or suspicious of the immigrant. Yes, we can afford to make mistakes in our life, and we all do all the time, but we cannot afford to be on the wrong side of history when bigotry and hate are involved. And so we pray, give us courage, Lord. Give us courage to work for peace and justice at home, in our communities, and in the world, all the time knowing that sometimes a few tables are going to need to be overturned, a few martyrs are going to die, a few jail sentences are going to be served. Lord, let justice roll like a river, and may we find ourselves on the right side of history. May we stand with Jesus, the one who created all people and all colors, in the very image of God. And that is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Carl's going to sing for us a song of peace and justice.
Justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. Come, O God, and take us, move and shake us. Come now and make us anew, that we might live justly like you. Take from me your holy feast, all your offerings and your music. Let justice flow like waters, and integrity like an ever-flowing stream. Justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. Come, O God, and take us, move and shake us. Come now and make us anew, that we might live justly like you. Dawn. The day we beat our swords into plows, when your peace reigns over the earth, let justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. shake us. Come now and make us anew, that we might live justly like you. Hear this, all of you who use the poor in your thirst of power and riches. The Lord will turn your laughter to tears at the wondrous day of our God. Even now return to me. Let your hearts be broken and humble, for I am gracious, generous and kind. Come and seek the mercies of God. Let justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. Come, O God, and take us, move and shake us. Come now and make us anew, that we might live justly like you. You have been told the way of life, the way of justice and peace, to act justly, to love gently and walk humbly with God. Let justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. Come, O God, and take us, move and shake us. Come now and make us anew, that we might live justly, we might live justly, we might live justly like you.
We lift our hearts now to God in prayer. Each prayer petition will end, gracious God, and our response, hear our prayer. Let us pray.
Faithful God of love, you blessed us with your servant Son so that we might know how to serve your people with justice and with mercy. We gather the needs of ourselves and others and offer them to you in faith and love, seeking to be strengthened to meet them. You call us to proclaim Christ crucified. Give clarity to this congregation and our leaders so that we might follow Christ beyond our own habits and comfort. Clear out anything in our common life that would obscure the gospel or that serves our own interests. Give those in positions of authority the strength to choose justice and mercy for those most in need. Hear us, O God. Turn over the tables in our minds and hearts that do not serve to lift your people and support your vision for an abundant life for all. Let us be open to learning some of the lessons of this pandemic, valuing family and friends. Tell people we love them and be agents of change toward hope and healing, welcoming all, figuring out the difference between wants and needs. Hear us, gracious God.
Help us to put material things in their proper place. You have said that there is a time for everything. Help us to find satisfaction in the good things we have in life and not succumb to greed and the envy of what others have. Help us give you honor and find room in our lives for worship, solitude, and healing renewal. Hear us, gracious God. God of compassion, restore hope in all who struggle in the illness of body or despair of mind, and give comfort to all who provide them care. Help our hearts rejoice as those we have loved pass to their next life, now alive again in Christ. We pray especially for the family of John Knox at his passing this last week, and after a long journey home to you. Hear us, gracious God. Shape us and transform us by your grace, O God, that we may grow in wisdom and in confidence, never faltering until we have done all that you desire to bring your realm of shalom to fulfillment. Into your caring hands, we commend all that we pray, trusting in your grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a sign of greeting and peace with someone this day. Reach out to someone today.
Hello.
Peace be with you from Cultus Bay.
Peace of the Lord be with you.
Peace be with you.
May the peace of the Lord be with you.
Just a few announcements this morning. We have been saying for a year now that we're one day closer. And now as we are in March, Easter is drawing closer to us. On Easter Sunday, we're going to be worshiping in the parking lot at 8 and 10:30. We're planning an Easter egg hunt for children at 11:30 as well. We hope you'll join us on Easter Sunday. Then on April 25th, pandemic and Governor Inslee willing, we will open our doors for in-person worship on Sunday morning, April 25th. Much more to come about that. One day closer indeed. Thanks be to God. We grieve this week. John Knox died this past week. He has been sick for quite some time, but prayers for Araceli and her family. In the credits, you'll see an address if you'd like to send a card. I'm going to call on Deacon Amy now, our Director of Christian Education. She has a few announcements to share with us.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. I'm here with an update on our education opportunities at Trinity. Adult education meets on Zoom at 9:30 every Sunday morning. This morning, Linda Neverman is hosting Bible Trivia. Be sure to check in and see what you know. Next Sunday morning, Pastor Jim will be back on adult education with more about reflections on Trinity's past, present, and future. Confirmation class meets on Zoom at 11 o'clock this morning, and next Sunday morning at 11, our Sunday school class will gather. Every Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, our middle school youth group gets together on Zoom for fun and games. Beginning on March 23rd, we will be gathering in person at the Trinity Courtyard around our brand new fire pit. Should be a lot of fun. Be sure to watch your emails for Zoom invitations for all of these wonderful things. And if you don't think you're on the list, contact us in the church office. Thanks.
Thank you, Deacon Amy. We now move to the celebration of Holy Communion. We gather now at a table that welcomed our parents and grandparents and welcomes Christians across the globe this day of all colors and denominations. This table belongs to no denomination or church. This is the Lord's table, and the one and only host is Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it is, as we gather, that we remember a Thursday night in an upper room in Jerusalem. From our text today, we heard about a Passover gathering. This was a Passover meal. On a Thursday night, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it for all who were gathered there, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin."
As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me, and know that I am always present with you. Inspired and in confidence, let us pray now, then, as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please share the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you now and always in God's grace. Thank you to the Neverman family, the Neverman Trio Bell Ringers, for playing Sweet Hour of Prayer during communion. And now, 52 weeks in, receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We move now to our closing hymn, a hymn about justice, the right hand of God. Be safe, be loved, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Until next time, we're one day closer.
Use our power wisely, so we're always serving you. Walk with us through the times we cannot fathom, and the times we're led astray. Let us lean on your compassion. Give a light to show the way. Walk through that valley, help us on the road. Be our companion, we cannot bear the load. Without your grace ever beside us, without your love to see us through. Let let us use our power wisely, so we're always serving you. Walk with us. We hold the power of mercy. We hold the power of peace. May our actions bear your imprint, so that all know your release. Walk through that valley, help us on the road. Be our companion, we cannot bear. Beside us, without your love to see us through. Let us use our power wisely, so we're always serving you. Walk with us, walk with us, walk with us.